The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is the verses 4 and 5 of 1 John chapter number 5. Let me read those two verses with you again. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Charles Simeon, one of the great preachers from the Church of England of a bygone era, said, "Christianity is a warfare, and every follower of Christ is by profession a soldier." Now in this world, the Christian faces a threefold enemy, the enemy of the world, and the flesh, and the devil. And these are the enemies that he must engage with and have conflict with and combat with in this scene of time. And it is one of those great enemies that John mentions and refers to in our text this morning, the enemy of the world. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now in these verses which relate to the Christian's warfare with this world, John also tells us and shows us that it is possible for the believer to be victorious in this particular conflict. You'll notice there twice over from those two verses that John speaks about the believer overcoming the world. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now it was God's will for the Christians in the day of John to be victorious in their Christian life over the world. And this is still God's will for his people, and indeed for all of his church today. The hymn writer speaks of this very fact when they speak to God's people and say, "A life of overcoming, a life of ceaseless praise, be this my blessed portion throughout the coming days." And they're speaking of the believer being victorious in their conflict with and over the world. Again, speaking of this same victory, one preacher of a bygone day has said that God wants his people to be victors, not victims, to grow and not grovel, to soar and not sink, to overcome and not be overwhelmed. And child of God, as you and I would live for God in this world, God wants you and I to be victorious in our conflict with the world and over the world. And it's for that reason I want us just to consider these two verses, verses 4 and 5 of 1 John chapter 5 this morning. As we would look here at the victorious Christian life, there are three things I want you to note simply and plainly from our text. Notice first of all today the origin of the victorious Christian life. The origin of the victorious Christian life. Notice what John says at the beginning of verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Notice that little phrase there, "born of God." Now that speaks of the new birth experience. Those words speak of the regenerating power of God the Holy Ghost in a person's life. Those words speak of that new nature that is imparted by God in the heart of man through the new birth. By speaking to God's people, Peter speaks of them and to them, and he says that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's that new nature in the new birth through the regenerating power of God the Holy Ghost. And thus we see here at the very outset that the origin of this victorious Christian life, it begins with God. It begins with God himself. In other words, John is telling us and teaching us here that no person can live the victorious Christian life who is not born of God, who is not born again of God the Holy Ghost. Surely that leads us to ask the question this morning, what is the character of that person who is born of God? What is the character of that person who is born again? Well, again, John the Apostle answers those questions for us by what he says at the end of verse 5, our text there, where he says, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." This is the mark of those who are born of God. This is the mark of those who are born again. He says, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." This believing on Jesus as the Son of God, what does it mean? Is it just mere a mental assent to the fact that Christ came? No, it's much more than that. The Bible would teach us that this believing on Jesus, that He is the Son of God, it means a person recognizing and realizing before God their need personally as a lost sinner before God. And with that realization, they come to trust in Christ. To rest on Christ and in His finished work alone for their salvation from their sin and for the great assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. You'll see here from this chapter, this is how it was with John himself. Look at what he says there in verse 11 of the chapter. He says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son." John had the assurance of eternal life through faith in Christ, the Son of God, as his Savior. You go back to chapter 1 of this little epistle, or chapter 2 rather, 1 John chapter 2. Notice again what he says about Christ in verse number 2 of the chapter. He says, "He is the propitiation." That word propitiation means the one who appeases the wrath of God against us for our sin. The one who quenches the wrath of God that is upon us for our sin. Who is that person? It is Jesus Christ. He says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And my John was resting upon the sacrifice of Christ alone to pardon his sin, to blot out his sin, and to save him from the wrath to come and a lost eternity in hell. Men and women, young people, boys and girls today, this is what it means to be born of God. This is what it means to be born again. Friend, in our meeting, let me ask you the question this morning. How is it with you today as you sit in this service? Are you born of God, as it says in our text this morning? Have you the new birth experience in recognition of your lost, sinful condition before an almighty God and a holy God? Let me ask you today, are you resting upon Christ alone and on His finished work alone for your salvation and for your place in God's eternal heaven? Oh, friend, this morning, let me make it very clear to you, if you are to live the victorious Christian life, as the Bible says, ye must be born again. As it says in our text, you must be born of God. You must repent of your sin before Almighty God. And by faith alone confess that sin to God, and by faith alone lay hold upon Christ. Trust in Christ, rest upon Him, His sacrifice, His blood, His righteousness for the forgiveness of your sins, for peace with God, eternal life, and a home in heaven. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You can only be saved through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You must receive Christ by faith and to be saved by God's grace, to be a child of God. Well, this is what it means to be born of God, to be born again. Yes, the victorious Christian life, it begins with you being born of God. It begins with you being made a partaker of the divine nature whereby you trust Christ as your personal Savior. If you're sitting in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, you're not born of God, you're not born again, then I would urge you today with haste to call upon Christ as you sit in this meeting this morning. call upon the Lord to have mercy upon you and to save your soul, to wash you in the blood of Christ, to fit you for heaven. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yes, the origin of the victorious Christian life is with God, and with a soul being born of God. But notice secondly from our text this morning, not only the origin of the victorious Christian life, notice secondly the conquest of the victorious Christian life. What is the victory here that belongs to those who are born of God? What is the conquest that John speaks of here that belongs to the Christian life? In our text, if you look at it, verses 4 and 5 there, 1 John chapter 5, you'll see there that John tells us that this victory and this conquest, it concerns the Christian overcoming the world. Notice again what John says. He says, for whatsoever is born of God, notice it, overcometh the world. Notice again what he says in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this victory, this conquest that he speaks of here is that of overcoming the world. And surely that leads us to ask the question, what then does this victory over the world or this conquest over the world, what does it mean? What does it entail? Well, in answering that question, let me say to you this morning that it does not mean the Christian bullying everybody until they lie prostrate at their feet. For that person who longs to have the world at their feet will soon be a slave to their own pride, a slave to their own ambition, a slave to their own prowess and power. That's how it was with Alexander the Great when he conquered the then known world and had it at his feet. It does not mean that. Can I also say this morning to you that this conquest of the world does not mean the Christian isolating themselves from this world, living like a monk or a nun or a hermit. History has proved that such a life is nothing more than an encouragement to sin. You see that from the awful abuses and scandals that are coming out of the system of Roman Catholicism. No, men and women and young people this morning in this meeting, this conquest of the world, it means the Christian fulfilling all their duties in this world. Be those duties religious, social, personal, political, family, or work related. And can I say that's what the Protestant Reformation was all about? And my, as the Christian discharges his duties in this world, those God-given duties that God has given him, then in this world he is one who is to cut himself loose from the ungodly customs and the evil ways of this ungodly world as he performs and discharges those duties that God has given to him. You remember what Paul said to the believers in Thessalonica. He said to the believers, abstain from all appearance of evil. And dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, in all our duties in this world, whatever those duties are that God has given to us in His will and in His providence, you and I are to shun that which is evil. You and I are to cut ourselves loose from that which is contrary to the Word of God and the teaching of God's Word. It means us cutting ourselves loose from the evil ways, the evil customs of this world. We can also say this morning that this conquest of the world, it also means us as Christians maintaining our freedom, maintaining our liberty from the ungodly ways of this world. You remember the counsel of Paul to the Christians in Galatia? He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Dear child of God, in the meeting this morning, having turned our back upon the sinful ways of this world, you and I are not to return to the devil's swine trough of sin. That's what it means. Also, can we also say today this conquest of the world, It means us as Christians rising above our circumstances, whatever those circumstances are, and living day by day for God's honor and God's glory. You remember what Paul said to the Christians at Corinth? He says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That was one of the great solas of the Protestant Reformation, for the glory of God alone. And people of God, be our circumstances poverty, be our circumstances sickness, be our circumstances health or wealth, our single aim in all things as we discharge our duties in life, whatever those duties are, is to live for God's honor in those circumstances and to live for God's glory in those situations. You remember the words of Paul as he wrote from a prison cell in Rome, a prison cell of suffering, a prison cell of deprivation. He could say to the believers in Philippi, he could say, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." What was Paul saying there? What was he teaching us? Well, he was really telling us there that he was rising above his circumstances in this world to live for God, to live for God's honor and God's glory. And that's how it is to be with you and I. Brethren and sisters in Christ, I tell you this, it's a blessing as God's people to be content with our lot in life and to be content with the providence of God that He causes to come our way. I think I've said this to you before, but I remember a few years ago being on holidays over in the city of Chester. It's a lovely place to visit, but there's a lot of old premises in the towns, and no doubt there was a great godly influence there in a bygone day. And inscribed in the plasterwork over one of the old business premises was this quote, this saying, "God's providence is mine inheritance." And what a statement that is. We need to learn to be content as God's people with our lot in life. Last week we were down there doing the outreach at the Mullahhead Ploughing Championships, and I was speaking to a man who came to the stall. Doesn't live very far from here, but he's a backslider. He readily admitted to that, and there was a softness with him, a brokenness with him as we talked together. And he was just talking about his life and some of the mistakes he had made. And he said he could trace one mistake in particular in his life to making a business deal as a young man, as a young Christian. And he says he looks back on it now and he says it was a wrong choice. It was a wrong decision. And he says as he signed the contract for that business, he had no peace, he had no happiness, he had no joy. You know that man's testimony down. He lost his marriage, his home, his family. He lost his testimony. I believe, yes, he's saved. And there's a brokenness. I encourage you to pray for that man that he'll come back to the Lord. But he readily admitted that he had made a mistake because he was discontented with his lot in life. And he went into some business deal which was not of God. It took him away from God. And he lost out in his fellowship with God and in his walk with God. Dear people, we need to be content as God's people. You think of what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Be content with such things as you have," says God. "For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And that's what it means, dear Christian, to overcome the world, to be content. But let me go on further this morning. This overcoming of the world, it also means the Christian not giving in to the bribes of this world, to the seductions of this world, as it was with Abraham of old. You turn back to Genesis chapter 14, and you'll see here how Abraham said no to the bribes of this evil world, the seductions of this evil world. And notice what he says at the end of that chapter, verses 21 to 23. He's just delivered his nephew Lot from the captivity, and the king of Sodom, an ungodly, wicked king, comes to Abraham, and he offers him money, offers him treasures and finance and all the rest. And you'll see here that Abraham turns his back upon this. He's nothing to do with this evil, ungodly man. Look at what he says in verse 21, 22, and 23 of Genesis 14. It says, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a trade, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. And there Abraham turned his back upon what was proffered and offered by the wicked king of Sodom. He would not be seduced by this evil man and bribed by him. And we need also as God's people not to be seduced by the bribery of this evil world, no matter what the world promises, no matter what the world says, or to turn our back upon it. Also, dear people of God, this conquest of the world, it also means us as Christians not giving in to the threats of this evil world. You remember Peter and John in the New Testament, when they were forbidden to preach the gospel by the authorities of their day, what did they say? They said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were not going to be silenced in preaching the gospel. Their response to the threats of the world that day was no surrender. They were going to go on and preach the gospel and preach the word of God. And dear people, we need not to bow to the threats of this world. Also, can I say this, as God's people, to overcome the world means us not being influenced by the evil fashions, the evil ways, and the evil examples of this world. And sad to say, the Church of Christ takes its standards today from the world, from the television and all that's going on out in the media. That is not our standard, dear people. We're to take our standards from God. We're not to follow the ways, the examples, the fashions of this evil, ungodly world. Turn over to Romans chapter 12 and the verse number 2. Look at the counsel of Paul there to God's people. Not only the day of Paul does this apply, it applies to you and I today. In the year 2016, it applies to all God's people to the end of time. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't go with the flow. You think of the salmon in the springtime, they swim against the tide going up the river. You and I are to swim against the tide of this evil, ungodly world. Yes, the conquest of this world. We see the source of this conquest, it is of God. Notice one final thought just in connection with this conquest from our text. Notice the secret of the victorious Christian life. Notice what John says there in verse number 4, 1 John chapter number 5. Notice his words at the end of verse 4. He says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Notice it, even our faith. That's the secret of the victorious Christian life, even our faith, as John says there. Can I say that victorious faith is not in ourselves? It is not in man. It is not in the church, no matter how orthodox the church is. It's not in the institutions of men. Rather, this faith is in the glorious person and in the glorious work of our Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be overcomers in this world as God's people, we are to trust in the Savior's pardon as His people. You remember what it says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Always remember, child of God, that when you're saved, all your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. Never lose sight of that. Also, we are to trust in the Savior's person. You remember what Isaiah said of the Lord? He said, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And believer in Christ, you're covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. That righteousness has been imputed to you by God that time you trusted Christ as your Savior. And because of Christ's righteousness, not because of our righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness, dear believer, you're accepted before God and in God's presence for time and for all of eternity. No matter what man says, no matter what the world says, no matter what false religion says, you have that eternal acceptance before God through Christ. Think of the words of the hymn writer, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty, are my glorious dress. He was rejoicing in the blood and the righteousness of Christ. Also, as God's people, we are to trust in the Savior's precepts. Look at what John says there in verse 3 of this great chapter. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Notice what he says, "His commandments are not grievous." In other words, the precepts of God's word are always for our good. They're always for our blessing. And by faith, we are to obey the precepts, the commands of God, no matter what others say, no matter what others do. Also, as God's people, we are to trust in the Savior's promises. And we're to plead them at the throne of grace and prayer. The Bible says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen." You're to plead the promises of God, Christian, in prayer. Also, as God's people, we're to trust in the Savior's power. Power to live for God. Power to serve God. You remember what Paul said? He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And also, as God's people, we're to trust in the Lord's provision for all our necessities in life. Remember the testimony of David? He could say, "I have been young, now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." He knew God meeting his necessities and needs in life. And also, as God's people, we are to trust day by day in the Savior's presence. We were singing of that earlier on in one of those great hymns we were singing. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Notice how John emphasizes this in verse 4 of chapter 4 of this epistle. Notice what he says. He says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Notice it, because notice it. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." The Lord says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Christian, let this word dwell in your heart today. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. John says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say to you this morning, this is the life that is victorious. This is the faith that moves mountains. This is the faith that cries, "It shall be done." Oh, by God's grace, may this faith be our testimony, not for our sakes, but for the glory of God, the glory of Christ, the glory of our dear Redeemer. "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, if you're not saved today, come to Christ. Call upon Him. Believer, day by day as you walk through the scene of time, look not to self, look not to man, but rest upon Christ, who is altogether sufficient, not only to save you, but to keep you unto life eternal.